Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to the Disney-holic Show!
Hello and welcome to the Disney-holic Show. That's Jen Diz.
And that's Mike TV.
Today, we're jumping into the new Disney Plus series, Behind the Attraction. We'll dive deep down an 8-layer iceberg of lesser-known Disney facts. Then, things will get weird when we share interesting fan theories from the Disneyverse.
So, I wanted to launch off this week's episode with a quick travel tip. So, the travel industry in general, I think, is a bit bonkers right now. Can we all say that? Can we all come to that agreement?
Post-pandemic slash still in the pandemic travel universe.
Right. So a lot of things are just a lot different than we have seen them before. I know I've talked before about, we talked about Uber, about Airbnbs. We also talked about flights in general and how, like, there's no more nonstop flights from San Francisco to LA. It's just weird. So another thing that I've been noticing, and this is actually more widespread, is the cancellation and or changing of flights, which is happening all the time on every airline, it seems. So I just wanted to give everybody a heads up because I know we're all starting to travel again, going back to the parks. So if you are not local to the park and you're traveling, keep an eye out for emails from your flight, whoever you chose, carrier, and make sure that you keep updated with the flight changes. Sometimes they change even the day. It just depends. So, like, it could completely screw up your travel plans, you know. So keep an eye on that. But I wanted to give a tip about that. Every flight, what's the word? Is it carrier? Flight carrier?
Airlines?
What am I looking for?
Airline?
Oh, just the airline. That's the thing.
the airline.
So far, every airline that I've seen that's doing this has given each person an opportunity to make one change after you get your flight changed. So, for instance, my flight to go down to Oogie Boogie Bash, they changed both directions of my flights. They changed by the time, not by the date. And I was able to change them. And the great part about this is that I cheaped out and I got the $59 flight originally. But now I was actually able to get a better flight because they offer you a free change. And you could pick any flight on that day that you want. With that said, there are a couple things. This is for Southwest. And I know not everyone is a fan of Southwest. Shout out to Don. Not a fan of Southwest. He's a big fan of Alaska. We know. But a lot of us do use Southwest. And two things they won't let you do via the mobile app and or the website is change the airport you're choosing and or the day when you're making those changes. However, if you call in, they can make the changes for you then. They did say, like, the airport have to be in the same, like, I don't want to say jurisdiction, but, like, the same area, whatever they want to, whatever term they're using. So you can't, like, all of a sudden fly out of New Orleans if you were originally flying into LA. But if you're flying out of Santa Ana and want to change it to Long Beach, you can't. So call in, see what they can do for you. I originally had a flight into Long Beach. I found a better flight for my timing in Santa Ana. They were able to move me to a different airport, a better time, which was actually aligned with the original time that I had, but not the one they changed me to. So anyway, I just wanted to give that tip out there so that you know that's available. However, you do need to call them, so it's a bit of a hassle instead of Hasselhoff, Hasselhoff, as Mike likes to say.
I want to check mine now. I'm flying Delta to Disney World on our fall trip, and I keep getting these emails. They'll change the landing time, the arrival time, by like 23 minutes. And I'm like, what's going on? Why do they keep changing it? But to your point, I think that triggers something that will allow me to change it altogether. So I'm going to look in that. I'm going to look into it.
Right. Yeah. I've gotten a couple that were like big changes. Like, for instance, my original flight, I think it was like a 3-hour difference. And I was like, that's not going to work. I can't make that flight. I have work. Like, the situation didn't work out for me to fly down there. So I had to keep my original time, which is later. So I was able to change it. But those weird 5-minute intervals that they're doing too, I got another one like that. I think my way home on that same flight was a 5-minute change. I'm like, why even change that? Because they're never on. It's never like on the dot.
Yeah, it's weird. Maybe they're like moving gates around or something. Who knows?
Yeah, I'd say like, let us know if it's over a half an hour. Then we'll talk. But yeah, anyways, I just want to let everybody know about that because I know that's something that's popping up for a lot of people and let you know that the availability is there to make bigger changes than you might be able to see. So anyways, enough of that. Let's get into our topics. First and foremost, I wanted to talk briefly about the Imagineering show that...
Behind the Attraction is what they're calling it, right? This is like a follow-up to, what is it, the Imagineering story.
Right, it's almost, I think we could consider it like a sequel series,
yeah,
right?
Maybe. Yeah.
It's a sister series. So it's called Behind the Attraction. It just came out about, what, like a week and change ago now. I've only gotten a chance to watch 2 episodes.
Wait, can we pause there? The thing that weirded me out was that they put so many episodes on, and I was already getting used to the Disney Plus like weekly cadence. So when you had mentioned that you watched a couple, I was so confused, and I went on and I saw they were all there, and I went straight to the ride that I wanted to see, which I think was Space Mountain, which was not the first. But yeah, so you watched 2 episodes.
Right, yeah. So they have, I think it's going to be 10 episodes altogether, and they've released 5. Mm. I'm actually not sure when they are releasing the second half.
Yeah, it's very different than the other content they've had so far.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting how they're releasing these, but it does give you some good content to binge through, which is fun. So the two I chose the first one just because I want to start the series off with however they're kicking it off and see how they're doing it. So I started with Jungle Cruise. And then right after that, I watched Tower of Terror.
Ooh.
And the other ones that are available right now are Haunted Mansion, which I am saving for last.
I'm surprised you didn't do that first.
You know me. Save the best for last. It's either first or last. Right. And since it wasn't the launch, I didn't watch it. I'm like, okay, I got to hold on to it. So like I was saying, they are releasing 5 at a time. So they're going to have 2 batches they release. And which ones do
my God. Which ones are already online? So the ones you could watch now on Disney Plus, the first episode is The Jungle Cruise, Behind the Attraction of The Jungle Cruise. Then they go into episode 2, The Haunted Mansion, followed by Star Tours, then The Twilight Zone, Tower of Terror, and then Space Mountain is episode 5. So that's where it pauses for now, I guess, like mid-season. But yeah, I don't know. You tell me, do you have to watch these in order? I didn't. I watched the Space Mountain one first, but what do you think about the order? Does it matter?
I definitely don't think you need to watch them in order at all. They seem to start off, they're their own individual episodes. They have nothing to do with the previous one. They don't even refer to things from previous ones. So should be totally fine to skip around as you'd like. I just picked Tower of Terror because when my friends came over, actually Danielle was over.
Oh yeah.
Which Mike is also a mutual friend of. So they just picked Tower of Terror. So we went with it. Like I said, I want to hold off Haunted Mansion for the very end because I'm very excited about it. But did you get a chance to watch any?
I started watching Space Mountain, and just something about the format of the show, it just turned me off. So I stopped it about like 5 minutes in, and I'm going to revisit
it.
Like when
I can't give a show 5 minutes.
I know. I mean, that's how much it didn't pull me in, but I think I'm going to give it another try. Maybe I'll start with another episode, but you had told me this offline outside of the episode, but there's something about the lady's voice, the narrator's voice, that like, I'm just like, oh, okay. It just seemed too like polished.
Yeah,
because I'm used to watching all these like fan-made YouTube ones. But yeah, so tell me or tell us about the Jungle Cruise one, and then you said you watched Tower of Terror also first.
Yeah, so I'll start with Jungle Cruise. I really enjoyed it at the very beginning, even for maybe the first 10-ish minutes. I was questionable, probably how you were feeling, but I stuck with it, and it got much better. So that's a good sign. And it did feel too polished. And I remember we also were talking offline about how we've always watched all these YouTube shows about like that are basically behind the interaction, right? On the history of these stories. And then the Disney, we were worried that the Disney version might be too clean and they might not share a lot of interesting stories. However, I don't feel that's what they did at all.
Great. So that's good to know.
They did tell a lot of stories that I was surprised they were telling, and a lot of stuff that I had not known yet, as well as a lot of footage I haven't seen. So that's, like,
that's
the best
great
part
selling
about
point. If there's new facts that Jen Diz learned about an attraction, especially if it's a Disneyland one, that's really cool.
It's also like, They have it. Like, they have archives. They have all this information that, like, the people who make YouTube videos don't. So
straight,
like,
from the source.
Yeah, they can just, like, kind of come up with this stuff that they're like, wait, we haven't shared this, and everybody keeps sharing all this other stuff. Let's tell them about this part of the story. So you really get to hear about the origins and some of the funny, like, chaos stories that happened during it. For instance, I found out in Jungle Cruise that Harper Goth, he was, he's done a ton of work in Imagineering, and he, like, in order to figure out the waterways for the Jungle Cruise, he, like, used a stick and drew on the ground, like, here, cut a path here, and then they just took a bulldozer and went through where he, like, drew on the ground with his stick. It's still, like, rudimentary, and you would never think that, right? Yeah. So it's, like, just some stories like that that are really, really cool. Another thing I learned about Jungle Cruise that I feel like I should have known, but it may have just skipped my memory at some point. But Walt Disney originally wanted the Jungle Cruise because he felt like back then, it was 1955, like, travel was not abundant yet, right? Like, not
accessible to everybody.
Yeah, it wasn't accessible to everybody. It was very expensive. And also, you really couldn't travel a lot of places. Like, hardly anybody was traveling Africa, for instance, right? So, like, that wasn't a thing like it is now. So he was trying to build this opportunity for people to see, like, these places that they just can't travel to. So, like, China and the, like, jungles of Africa and, like, wherever they were traveling to in the Jungle Cruise. And I just thought that was so cool.
China?
To think about.
Where's China in there?
China with the Bengal tigers and everything.
Oh, my gosh. I need to watch this episode then.
Right. See? I'm already talking to you and do it. Yes. So there's supposed to be different parts of Jungle Cruise that highlight different parts of the world, like exotic places.
I did
places.
Not even know that.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Yeah. Cool.
So it was really cool. And then the Tower of Terror, I won't give away. That one's a little further in, so I don't want to give away anything on that. But there are some parts in there that we were literally laughing out loud, and we rewound it like four times to watch it again. Because they were, the way the editing was done, and like, you'll see. It's the part about, if anybody watches it, it's the part where Joe Rohde had to, like, converse with the original Imagineers who created Tower of Terror. And, like, it's hilarious how they were just... It's really funny. I'll just leave it there. You guys need to watch it. So, yeah, big fan. I was a bit nervous as well. I also agree with you at the beginning with that woman's voice. However, she doesn't... I don't think she narrated the Tower of Terror one, so she's only on some of them.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, she has like this infomercial vibe about her.
She has a
voice.
Stacey vibe. Didn't you say that?
Yes. Yeah. One of us said that. Stacey. We love Stacey. Love, hate her from the hotel TV screens that just play her
World,
on the
yeah.
Disney Channel. The Disney World Resort Channel, not the Disney Channel.
Yeah. So it did feel like that. Also in the Jungle Cruise at the beginning, they started promoting the film. And I'm like, oh, God, come on. Like,
oh, you got to do that. Corporate
this
synergy.
This is not why we're here.
Disney's corporate synergy at its finest.
Right. Yeah. But if you hang in tight with it, I feel, at least in my opinion, that it was done really well. I did learn a lot. And again, the footage that you get to see that you may have never seen before, I just thought that was really, really cool. So two thumbs up for me. And hopefully Mike will make it through five more minutes and get another rating from him later, because I'm not going to ask him for his rating.
I think it helps to watch the ones that you watched first. So I'm going to do Jungle Cruise, especially because it's just very relevant. They just reopened the ride at Disneyland and the movie coming out. So I'll watch that. And then you already sold me on Tower of Terror. If there's something like funny between the generations of Imagineers.
It's really funny. Like, I just love when Disney like jokes around about the way they do things. Like, it's the non-polished stuff. Like, they were saying, like I don't want to give anything away. It's just funny. Watch it. Okay, I can't talk about it
anymore. We'll watch it, and we'll talk about it, and our listeners will hopefully watch it, too.
There you go. Yeah.
Now perfect. Available episode 1 through 5. But speaking of things that we learned and didn't know about Jungle Cruise, I have a wild iceberg that I found that is meant for wow. the Disney know-it-all. It's supposed to try and stump the Disney know-it-all. This is what the iceberg was built for. Can you remind us and remind our listeners, what is an iceberg and, you know, where did we learn about it in the first place?
Yes. So an iceberg in the wild, right, is a giant piece of ice in an ocean, but the only part you see of it is a very small portion of it. So the biggest piece of iceberg actually lives underwater out of the naked eye, right? Mm-hmm. So the part on top is all the stuff that we, most people already know about. And then when you go deeper down the iceberg, it's like the deeper cuts, rabbit hole kind of stuff. So they've, yeah. people like in fandoms, all sorts of different fandoms, this is not a Disney thing, it's an everybody thing, have built these icebergs going down the path of like what is more obscure, basically, as you go yeah. down further the iceberg.
So much fun. And one of our friends of the podcast, Binksery, Alyssa, really like got us onto this iceberg sort of expedition of other Disney yes. icebergs, as I think it was during our patron month and we were looking for suggestions. So, all right. So I have an iceberg for you. I would consider you a bit of a Disney know-it-all, but I know it's more Disneyland in your court. But we'll
I'm
see.
Definitely a parks person.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. There's park stuff mix in. So okay. I'm going to start with the very top of the iceberg, and I'm going to spill some facts. This is so high up on the iceberg that it's like the atmospheric sky that's cold right above the tip. So I expect you to know all of these. Okay.
Okay. We'll hope so.
Starting with, what is something that people look for around the parks and they point out and they get excited when they see them?
And weenies.
Wow, that is actually lower on the iceberg, so you already took a swim. I'm talking about hidden Mickeys.
Oh, okay.
Which is very up there, right? Everybody knows about that. There's another one here that I'm surprised it's up this high, is the Morse code on the railroad train.
Oh, I am surprised that it's up that high too, right? At the New Orleans train station, right?
Yeah. So that's up there. And then another thing that's interesting that's up there is, and we've talked about it on the show and on Instagram, it is the paint color that helps things blend in. What is that?
Oh, go away green.
Go away green. So yeah, they have different buildings and things in the Disney parks painted with go away green. Sometimes it's even like utility boxes that they don't want you to see or they want you to glance over. So go away green. All right, I'm going to go down to layer 2 of the 8-layer iceberg. This is the base. This is the iceberg itself that we all see. That's this layer 2, the one that's okay. above the water. Okay, so there's something here about Toy Story characters in the park. Let's see if you know this one.
Okay.
They don't do it anymore.
Oh, though. That's it.
Yeah.
The Andy's home.
Yes, yes. So what's that one?
I think that was on my iceberg too. That's funny.
Where
or Andy's coming or Andy's home.
Yeah, and then yeah. they fall to the ground, which they don't do anymore. There is something here about the underground Disney World Magic Kingdom where we've been in.
The Utilidors.
So those are those underground tunnels for the cast members and behind the scenes. Another thing that's on here is the character that came before Mickey Mouse.
Oswald, the Lucky Rabbit?
The Lucky Rabbit, yeah. So these are kind of, this is above water, so these are things that most Disney know-it-alls should know. There's one more that's, actually there's two on here that I want to tell you about. One is about Tomorrowland and the plants there.
Oh, that you can eat them all.
Yes.
They're all edible.
Tomorrowland has edible plants. I'd like somebody to try it to see if, I don't think I've actually done it. Have you?
I have it. I should take a nibble at least once just to say I did, though.
Yeah, we should. But like, we could rinse it off.
Don't do it.
Rinse it off and eat it. Well, they shouldn't promote it that way if they don't want us to eat it.
Exactly.
And then there's another one here about the Mad Hatter or the Mad Tea Party teacups. What is something there?
Purple teacup.
Yes. And what about it?
Spins the fastest.
Spins the fastest. So We need to get on the purple cup because I already spin it fast. But if we get in the purple cup,
I want
to see.
Oh my God, it's insane. I don't even want to do the purple cup with you.
I want to see.
I've never how far seen someone spin a teacup like Mike. That was insanity.
I want to spin the purple teacup so hard that it like flies off the.
That's what I feel is going to happen.
That's my goal.
And just everybody who goes on it, it's the plain purple teacup. There's another teacup that has a white background with purple like borders and a design on it. It's not that one. Oh. It's the plain purple one with a white stripe.
Interesting. I did not know that difference. So I'm glad you mentioned it. All right. So we're going to go down to layer 3 of this iceberg. This is just below the water. Pretty icy cold. But there's still some light, you know. So as a Disney know-it-all, I expect you to know some of these, or most of them, actually.
You could, like, dive for it.
Yeah, you could dive right. And grab it, right?
Still get to it. Okay.
Okay, so the first two that I want to mention are related to that 90s era of Disney animation that we grew up with, like Lion King okay. And Little Mermaid. So there's two things related to Little Mermaid that are semi-secret, and they're kind of naughty.
Yes. So the weenie, can I say weenie again? The weenie on the cover.
Yeah.
An actual weenie though, not like a Disneyland weenie.
The giant penis is what it is.
Yes. Giant penis to be whatever correct. What's the word I'm looking for? Scientifically correct.
Yes, scientifically.
Anatomically correct.
Anatomically, yep, there it is.
I am not flowing with my words
it's
today,
okay.
You guys.
It's really
goodness
cold
gracious.
Out here in the Arctic.
Woo! I'm freezing in these waters. Okay. The priest gets a little excited yes. during his ceremony. Is that the other
yes,
thing?
That is it. Yeah, when he's marrying Vanessa, who is Ursula in disguise, and Prince Eric, it literally says right here, the Little Mermaid boner, but we all know what it's referring to, which is the priest. So those two things, if you don't know about it, definitely Google it, because it's all there, but they're both gone now. They digitally removed.
Did they change the boner?
The boner, yeah, has been gone for a while.
Oh, I didn't know they did that.
On one of like the DVD releases. But they try to say, I've read somewhere, the official stance on it is that it's his knee and he has bony, knobby
yeah,
knees.
Yeah, right? No. Unless he has like the weirdest little leg. Yeah. Like.
And why would he be bending his leg up
just
in the
like
middle
randomly
of the...
raising his left leg only like,
and then the underwater sea castle penis didn't last very long either. It was like on the poster and maybe one video release and then it was removed. And then there's the thing about the Lion King, which we actually posted on Instagram a few weeks back. The Lion
oh yeah
King.
That's when is it Simba grown Simba adult Simba
yes.
Okay, adult Simba, like, I don't know what the word, like, flops on the edge of a cliff kind of thing, and his dust flies out, and it spells out the word sex, S-E-X,
yes.
In the air with, like, this sparkly dust stuff.
And that's definitely there. It really is, especially now with digital, and you could pause it and see it right on that frame. So, yes, the hidden sex.
Wait, what about Aladdin?
Subliminal. That's not in here. Let me just look to see if it's down below anywhere. No, it's not anywhere on here. So tell us about Aladdin.
Do you know that one?
Aladdin, I know about the things that they corrected in the song that were offensive, but that's really it. Yeah, you tell me.
So Aladdin at some point says, I forget what he really says.
Oh,
I can never
yes,
remember
I do,
it anymore.
I do.
Do you remember?
Good teenagers take off your clothes.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be good tiger, take off and go. And he's talking to Raja on the balcony.
Oh.
But it's a stretch. It's a stretch.
Yeah,
I
it
think,
sounds
yeah.
exactly like he's saying teenagers take off your clothes. And it's when he's standing on the balcony still on the magic carpet or like
yeah,
just came off
and he's
of
trying to get
right?
her
that
to
scene.
Join him for a, I guess they literally fly around the world, I think, which is a whole other rabbit hole we can go down. They did that pretty quickly. But hey, right. It's an enchanted magic carpet. Who are we
there
to
we
say?
There we go. Yeah.
And then there's something here, and I'm hoping you have information about this. It's all it says is the old Snow White ride. I'm not sure what it's referring to. Were there different
yeah,
versions?
Sometimes these iceberg
this?
things are like, wait, what did they, what exactly about it? I mean, yeah, maybe they're talking about how it used to be just called Snow White's Adventure versus Scary Adventure.
Oh, I don't, yeah, they did have, did they add the word scary back in the day because kids were getting,
yeah,
afraid?
When they did the something 1983 like that, refurbishment, right? They added scary into the title as a disclaimer.
Mm. Perhaps that's terrifying. What this is about. Another thing that's on layer three. Yeah, we're on layer three now of the iceberg, just under the surface of the water. They talk about river country, which I think we covered recently on an episode, but that's where we all know that some of the kids were dying because they used actual lake water. And there
lake
was
water. So, yeah,
there was like
it's
a
like the worst
brain
idea.
Eating amoeba, but there are still remnants of river country out there. It was supposed to be destroyed for a new DVC property, which was canceled during the pandemic. So I think a lot of those slides with overgrown trees and grass still exist. So that's
gosh,
river country.
Crazy.
Okay, let's go down even deeper. It's getting a bit chilly down here. Layer four of the iceberg. And these I definitely need to ask you about. So one of them just says Haunted Mansion Suicide. That's all it says.
That's probably referring to the fact that it's like one of those sensitivity levels of like the ghost host is hanging himself in the stretching room.
Oh, in the stretching room, right.
So everyone's been wondering if they're going to remove that with all these changes they're doing in the parks for sensitivity. And they're like, we should probably not have a guy hanging himself in anything. So
yeah, very good point. But it is part of the story. So that's one of those things where we're always torn, right, about what to do. There's this one here, which I'm glad I do know, because that means I've made it to level four, which is the bones in Pirates of the Caribbean.
The human?
Human, oh, right? Human skeleton bones. Remind me where that is, supposedly, allegedly.
Well, supposedly they had a lot at the very beginning. They would like purchase them from local colleges that use them as like cadavers or whatever for their studies, forensics, whatever it was. They would purchase the skeletons to put in the ride, and then it was all taken out at some point. I don't know when, and put fake skeletons in. And it was because they were more inexpensive. I remember that. The real skeletons were less expensive than right. real skeletons. And then later they replaced them with fake ones, except for supposedly the skull that's on the back, on the backboard or the headboard of the captain's bed.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So supposedly that's still a real human head, which I've always been skeptical about because it looks Cro-Magnon.
Like, oh, like some sort of prehistoric giant skull.
It looks like this huge skull. So I'm like, I don't know if that's real.
There's another like dark one that's here on level four of the iceberg, which is the ashes people spread around Haunted Mansion. And I do feel like this is a Disney know-it-all fact that usually you'll tell somebody at some point that you're bringing to Disneyland if they've never been there. It comes up somehow at the Haunted Mansion, right?
Totally.
So yeah, Haunted Mansion, spreading ashes of loved ones who have requested
I have plans for that myself, but that's okay.
Their resting place, but they're going to vacuum it like the next morning, I'm sure.
No, I have plans. My plan is to have black paint and you mix my ashes in it. And then when you're on the ride, you just kind of spill it. And it's going to dry by the end of the day, and you can't wipe me up.
And they'll probably just paint over it, right? They wouldn't waste time.
That's, yeah, they're just going to keep me in there, and it's fine.
Okay. And then, moving on, there's two here that are related to animated films, or films in general. And I don't know about these. One says in the movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit, there's a panty shot. Is that
Oh, yeah.
Jessica?
When they crash with Lenny, the cab, they crash into like a pole or something, and then Jessica Rabbit flies off and you could see right up her skirt.
Wow. And then in The Rescuers part one, it says there's a topless woman, and I've never
yeah that's in a picture, I think. Oh. It's like a framed photo in someone's home. I don't know where they lived in that because they're animals, so like whatever that situation was, I can't remember. Yeah. But it's a framed photo. I remember that.
Wow. Okay, so you've officially made it through level four because you knew most of the ones that we mentioned, actually all of them, I think. So let's see. Let's go down to level 5 of 8.
Wait, does this make me a know-it-all? I don't want to be a know-it-all.
So far, you're a Disney know-it-all, which is it's fine because, you know, you might be having a conversation or there might be a group of Disney people and we need someone who knows as deep as possible.
So there we go. Okay.
We're now moving to a level 5. It's okay. Pretty cold down here. It's pretty cold and it's getting very dark. And I'll start with this one because you recently learned more about it. Discovery Island is down here.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so Discovery Island was, it was actually open for a while, right? And it was another, it was like a wildlife adventure park, I guess you could say,
with
right?
Actual
like you would go
and
there
things.
And see like bird shows and stuff like that over there.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's still
that
there,
was
also
prior
abandoned.
To Animal Kingdom.
Prior to Animal Kingdom, and it's now a popular spot for, what is that called? Urban
explorers. Yeah.
Like urban explorers. We've seen YouTube videos of people literally swimming to it, which is terrifying because there's gators in there.
Seriously?
So Discovery Island. There's one here about the original alien encounter.
Oh, I miss it so much.
Yeah.
What was it actually called? It was called...
Extraterrestrial. Like
a, there you go. Extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm surprised that's pretty deep down because I thought most of theme park fans are aware of that, whether or not they've been on it. But you got to actually ride it.
A lot of people didn't actually go on it because it was so scary. So it had quite the reputation of being terrifying. It was also weird because it was in Tomorrowland. So, like, I mean, I guess space and aliens, fine. But, like, it just... Something about it, like, just didn't necessarily fit, but people were scared of it, A. B, like, it didn't have any Disney IP, so it wasn't, like, as memorable. Like, people probably, actually, I know there's a handful of people that thought that was, they argue that it was in Universal. Instead of, like, no, that wasn't Disney World, that was Universal. I'm like, no, it was
That's
Disney
interesting.
World.
Yeah, especially if you've
right
been
in
on...
the Magic Kingdom.
If you ride the Stitch Encounter, which is also defunct now, because it's the same exact... Right. Attraction.
Yeah.
Bones. Right.
So that was their response to that, right? Like, it was too scary and there's no IP. So like, okay, let's put Stitch in as the alien and make it cute.
Right.
And he farts on you instead of breathing down your neck.
Like, gross. another thing that's down here on this level is Nara Dreamland.
Oh my gosh. Did I watch that with you? Who did I just recently watch that
with?
Yeah,
I think we talked about it. I think we did.
Oh my gosh. I just recently rewatched the... video is all about that. That was in Japan, China?
I think Japan. I want to say Japan.
I think this one was Japan.
Before
yeah.
Tokyo Disneyland.
It was, yeah. It was like a knockoff Disneyland. And the craziest part, so, and this is like, you know, take with a grain of salt, but it was actually the, what's the one we really like? Defunct Land. Their documentary on it was really good. And they said that Walt Disney was involved in it. Like, he wanted to... That was, like, their first stab at trying to get a park over there. But for different reasons, they couldn't continue it. So they dropped the project. But they had already started. So their version of this knockoff Disneyland looked a lot like Disneyland. Like, they had the train station. They had the castle. Like, a lot of things were very, like...
Wow.
Too much Disney to not be actual Disney. And then I found out it kind of was for a little bit. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll give them a pass. But then there's the other knockoff Disneylands that are just like...
Yeah, there are some in China,
like, as
right?
knockoff as possible.
Yeah. Nara Dreamland, it turns out, the actual prefecture, whatever they call the sort of neighborhoods and areas in Japan, is called Nara. So therefore, Nara Dreamland. Here's one that I don't know how true it is, but it says that Disney created furries, like the furry culture.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah. So I don't know. My take on that is maybe people were aroused by the Disney costume characters and then it became a subculture. I don't know. So
I do know in the furry community that Robin Hood, like everyone has this huge affinity for Robin Hood. Like that is like, so, like, that could be more deep than I thought in the furry community, but I just know that, like, that is a thing for sure.
Oh,
like, it's like...
Oh, you're right. It could go as deep as the animated films where they
did
like
that Robin
whole
Hood
episode
specifically.
On anthropomorphic characters. Right. Yes. So,
and that could be, if you think about it, like that, like there were other people using animals before Disney did, right? Like Felix the Cat was before Disney. So like we've already seen anthropomorphic before, but like Disney really embraced that. And that is what furries is. Yeah. So like, I guess that you could kind of look at it that way. Yeah.
Interesting. There's something here also that all it says is Mickey's sex tape. I've never heard
Mickey's. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. We'll leave that in the dark, deep area of this iceberg. let's go down to, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're now going to go down to level 6 of the iceberg. 6 of 8. This is still pieces of ice. There's 8 levels
on this one?
Goodness. There's 8, yeah. So this is the last layer that still contains the iceberg itself before we go into the dark, murky waters of the Arctic.
Okay,
so this level says, you can't or they try not to let you die at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. That's... So, if you look at the records of how many people have died at Disneyland versus a related death of something that happened at Disneyland, the numbers are very different. So, like, they try to get you to a hospital, so you technically die at the hospital. You don't actually die at Disneyland, but you died because of something that happened to you at Disneyland.
That's
so they, like,
funny.
Don't count it.
They love their, like, legal loopholes.
Right. And like even my personal experience with splitting my knee open, like they literally got, they could say it's emergency, like they're trying to help me to get me to a hospital as soon as possible. But because I've already known this fact, I feel like they're just trying to rid of my injury. Yeah. Like, get this out of here. I want nothing to do with it.
It's very true. I hear about that pretty often, about people getting taken off site at the Disney parks in general. So that's here on this layer. Then there's one that says Mickey Mouse gas masks.
Oh, yeah. So this was during World War II. Have you not seen that photo
I don't
of
know
all
anything
the children
about
wearing
one.
Gas masks? So it was during World War II, and they, like, everybody basically owned a gas mask, I guess, at some point, like around that time, because of the terror of being in a world war. And so in order to make it a little more happy for children, they had these Disney or Mickey Mouse gas masks where it looked like you're wearing a Mickey Mouse face instead. And it's terrifying. I'll have to show you a picture of it. It's so scary.
You know what is really strange is I wonder if we'll look back at this pandemic in that strange, weird way, because there's also Disney branded masks, which I remember before they even came out with it, we were talking like, oh, I bet you Disney's going to make some character masks during the pandemic.
Right. Yeah, like the ones that just look like Mickey's smile and it's like goes over your mouth. Yeah. Like that's real dark when you go like. Wow.
So we are in the middle of something similar, not as extreme as a gas mask, but still.
Right.
Public health, public safety, nonetheless. Okay, here's one that I had to do research on because it's really cool. Thomas Cleveland.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Does that name ring a bell?
Is it an SCA member?
It is not. Okay, so this guy was a teenager in Northridge, California, Orange County, and he tried to sneak into Disneyland because he didn't want to pay or it was just, you know, a teenager being silly. And he tried to sneak... He tried to sneak in by climbing onto the monorail track, the one that's
say, is this the
outside
guy?
Of Harbor.
I knew.
Yeah. And I mean, I think people can guess what happened there. He didn't survive this. I couldn't find more information about the actual death, but I'm assuming he got run over.
He got hit by a monorail, yeah.
Okay. So you said monorail guy, so you sort of knew about it.
I just didn't know his name. Yeah. I mean, I know all the Disney deaths, but that's my
true
crime.
I'm still
self.
Giving that one to you. So his name is Thomas Cleveland. There's another death, Disneyland death. Actually, this is Disney World, Magic Kingdom. So his name is Javier Cruz. Does that ring a bell?
No, I don't think I know any of these people's names.
Especially Disney World, right? So he was he was in the parade. He was a costumed parade performer, and he was run over. I'm not laughing, but it's just the absurdness of it all. Yeah, he was run over by a parade float.
That's so sad.
And he died.
That's sad because he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was like performing and like.
He's just performing.
Who knows what happened, but that's sad.
Yeah. And just imagine being on the sidelines, like watching it as a guest, like, whoa.
Yeah. Okay,
so Javier Cruz, rest in peace. Hope you have a magical afterlife, I guess. So, yeah. So those were some things. And you knew a few of those, especially the gas masks, which was a really odd one. And I'm happy you could educate us on that. So you made it down to level 6 and there's 8. So we're going to go down to level 7. This is pretty dark. There's not even any ice left. This is probably just where there's strange fish, I'm assuming, sea life.
Like the anglers come out or whatever.
Yeah, the anglers with the light. This one says animal abuse allegations. Disney animal abuse allegations.
I actually just saw a TikTok on this recently, too, where they kind of talked about it. But actually, they didn't talk about it, but I thought they were going to. They were talking about Homeward Bound. Is that even Disney?
Yeah,
it is, right?
Yeah.
So back in the day, like this was before PETA probably. I don't know. Like back in the day, they used to just like, wait, what is it about the penguins? I'm having all these flashbacks.
Penguins.
There's something crazy about penguins.
Do you, do you know that one specifically? Did they use real penguins in Mary Poppins as an animated inspiration?
No. It was something to do with what the like True Life Adventures or something where the penguins would like slide off the edge of the rock and something terrible was happening, but Disney was like making them do something that was not natural. I can't remember what it was. This is like an old memory triggering. So like, sorry if it's like totally botched.
Okay,
but
so you have some knowledge
about
of it.
That. And then they like, remember, like, I think it was like in the 90s when we started seeing that warning pop up, like no animals were harmed in the making of this film.
Oh,
that kind of stuff. It was
end,
like before
credits,
that,
right.
It wasn't just Disney. It was like everybody was just like overworking these animals and whatever they were doing with them, which is terrible. But
yeah, and I know in Animal Kingdom, they really like over communicate how well they take care of the animals.
Right. Yeah, that was like the new version of, remember, like zoos used to be, they used to just keep them in little square boxes overnight. Like, they didn't care how the animals lived outside of what people saw. So, like, actually where they were put in for the majority of the day was really sad. So the whole zoo culture got changed, and that's kind of where Animal Kingdom came in after that. We're like, look, we have this, like, whole habitat for our animals or whatever. So, anyway.
Very, very odd. Okay, so there's another one here. And this one I also had to research because I couldn't not. All it says is Handy Manny porn hijack. Porn, like pornography hijack.
Handy Manny?
Yeah.
Okay, Handy. Don't know this one.
Handy Manny. Okay, so Handy Manny was what they nicknamed a porn clip that was aired on the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really get a sense of the date, but what I found was the year 2000. So let's go with that. It was specific to New Jersey broadcasting. So only broadcasters and viewers in New Jersey saw this. And it was some sort of disgruntled employee that changed what was Disney Channel's broadcast for that time window and put porn of full on man and woman having full intercourse. And plenty of people, including children, saw this.
Does it say how long the clip was?
I couldn't find. Yeah, there's a lot of like conflicting info on this. But the one thing that everybody got right was the porn itself. So if anybody from Jersey knows about this, we'd love to hear more about this. You can visit our website and leave us a voicemail. We want to know everything. So that's Handy hilarious. Manny, I don't even know where the name came from, because the guy's name himself, the employee, was named, and his name was, I can't find it. So maybe his name was Manny. I thought I found it earlier. So yeah, Handy Manny porn hijack. Strange. Okay.
Wow.
So far you kind of got animal abuse. Didn't know Handy Manny. So we're going to go to this other one, which is very fascinating. It's called the June 29th Hostage Crisis. It's also Disney World, so I imagine.
Is it in Epcot?
It is not.
Oh.
But I can jump to that. There's one that says Epcot Suicide.
Oh wait, was that a hostage also? It was no. In the restrooms, right?
That one I'm not sure. What do you kind of know about?
So the one that I remember, unless I'm combining two of them, I thought they were both in Epcot, or at least this one, the one I remember, and it's like, again, like I said, it could be two different stories into one, because you know how my memory is. But in the restrooms by the Imagination Pavilion, they went inside there, and there was a guy, he was like a stalker, I think. He was obsessed with one of the girls who worked there or something.
Ooh.
And he was threatening to kill himself, and he took hostages into the restroom with him. And then wow. Something happened where they got the hostages out and he killed himself. So I don't know, like, if ugh. That's two stories or one, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't not believe it. So it's at minimum urban legend, and then at best it was real. So June 29th hostage crisis was... it took place at one of our favorite resorts at Disney World, the Boardwalk Inn.
Oh, no, I don't know about this for sure.
And it was a guest there who also had his 4-year-old son in the room. And when the person came to deliver his food, I'm assuming it was a Disney person, or maybe, you know, they have that pizza. He took...
That was like pre-Uber Eats. Or
pre-Uber Eats. He pulled that man... the delivery man into his room and took him hostage. And he had, you know, like his list of demands. He was heavily armed. The hotel, after the whole situation was ended, which I don't know the full ending of how it happened, sorry, but the hotel and Disney also had to bring guests into different, you know, they moved their rooms from where it happened, but they also had to have counselors because these guests were traumatized, allegedly, which, which is pretty scary, because if you're in an adjacent room, you may not know what's happening. So I guess they knew. Maybe there was a lot of ruckus. I don't know. I'm not
sure.
Wow,
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Wow, I did not know about that.
Okay, so that was...
I wonder why he chose to do it at Disney with his kid there. Yeah, it's so bizarre. I always want to like dive into psychology immediately when I hear these things. I'm like, what was going on? What were his demands? Why did he do it then? Why June 29th? Like, all the questions.
So the other thing, that I saw in here that I don't know about, and I didn't do any research, it says Deborah Stone. Does that name ring a bell?
Deborah Stone. Is that Dolly?
Oh, Dolly's Dip. It could be Dolly's Dip. Even if it's not, Dolly's Dip isn't on here anywhere. So let's talk about that.
I'm like looking it up now. 9 ghosts that reportedly haunt the Disney parks. Oh my gosh. So Dolly, which I'm not sure if it's that person or not, but they did have an incident on the Matterhorn in the 70s, I believe. I don't know exactly when it happened, but sorry, I'm trying to look it up as I talk. But she, something happened. Either her seatbelt wasn't buckled or it malfunctioned or whatever happened, and when they went down on track B, I believe, track A, track B, the faster one. Oh my gosh, I'm like brain stumping on this now. I think it's track B is the fast one, right?
Question I'm mark? Not sure. I didn't even know their name.
Shoot,
but it's the one with
this
that
should be
like,
Disney Know It All
that drop thing. Your stomach drops a bit.
Yeah, there's the one on the left. It's the faster track, and that's the one that has that real hard dip. Right above that was this giant rock that's like part of the Matterhorn Mountain. And she like flew up out of her seat and hit her head on it, and she ended up passing away. So, oof. Yeah, it was very sad, but she was from Fremont, which is like, for whatever reason, like what? A lot of people like to associate with things, right? When they happen, just in general, like you try to understand things, you associate. And we're both from the Bay Area in Newark, which is next. It is Fremont, basically.
Pretty much,
it's
yeah.
like a little island in Fremont. And she was from here. So it's just really weird.
I didn't remember that.
And about that.
You know, I mean, because some of these things also feel like urban legends, it's we sometimes make fun of it, whatever. I know when we ride Matterhorn, we sometimes scream Dolly's Dip on that part. Cause it's
yeah.
Like,
that's Dolly's Dip. I'm all 510, like a yellow area.
That's where it happened.
I was wrong, by the way. Deborah Stone. Do you know who it is?
No.
Deborah Stone is the America Sings Death.
Ouch. The one who got smashed between the walls?
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't know her name, but we did know that story.
Oh my God, it's so... That's the most terrifying Disney death, if you ask me.
That is.
By far.
So I almost wasn't going to give you anything for level 7, but I'm now going to give you that one, America Sings, because you do know about that.
I just
that
don't
one.
Know any of these people's real names.
I just didn't know their name. So we're going to go down to the darkest and the lowest at the bottom, level 8.
Wait, why didn't I get the animal abuse one? Was there something else to that I don't know?
Well, you didn't seem sure about it.
No, for sure.
Like, okay.
Disney had a big issue with animal abuse before, and it was their films.
Oh, okay. Like yeah. Nature.
So. I was like, no.
All right. No, you got it. You survived level 7. Disney know-it-all. We're going to go to level 8, the final level. The first thing in this level should not belong here. It says Club 33.
That's very weird. That should be like level 2.
Right?
Or something.
I feel like even non-Disney fans ask us about that as Disney
fans. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my fans like barely know anything about Disney. Like, did you get into Club 33? Like, that's like their right. one secret thing they do know.
Yeah. So that was a strange one that's on here. There's
weird.
Something here that says room 0, like the number, room 0.
Ooh, I don't know about that either.
I do not either, and I did not do research, so if anyone out there knows about it... We'd love to know about room 0. Okay, there's another
dark one. Ooh, there's a creepypasta about it.
Really?
Hold on. I'm going to read it. Room 0 refers to an underground bomb shelter located in Disney World. An unnamed incident which occurred at this shelter during an air attack led to a new form of Corruptus and the Gaskets?
Weird.
Which may be one and the same. I don't know what that even means. Only the protagonist and Hammer know about it. Okay, now I'm like super lost.
That is very weird. Well, there's something called Room 0 at the bottom of this iceberg.
Yeah, and the image that popped up is the Mickey gas mask.
Oh, wow.
Full circle. We'll travel around that iceberg.
There's another dark one here in the depths of the iceberg. It says 1999 hanging. And this one is real, and there's a picture of it that I found. So
stop.
Just trigger warning to everybody.
Stop. First of all, the room 0 is from a game. FYI, I just found out. So, okay. Whatever.
1999 hanging.
Hanging.
And it has to do with an attraction. It's a real human being that took their own life.
I don't know this one, I don't think.
So in 1999, so this was in our generation when we were like going to the parks, a cast member hung themselves in Small World.
Oh, wow.
And
that's so sad. And that's very dark. That's probably like the darkest place to do that.
Right? Just the contrast between the ride itself and what happened. And people were posting on the internet about experiences. Someone who was there said that they ended up shutting all the lights off while they were on the ride when it was found. So it was the ride was operating and it wasn't found until
what?
A certain time. They turned off all the lights and they shut off all the lights, let the boats keep going. And the intercom gave a brief explanation that said, please face straight ahead and please leave the building upon exit. We hope you enjoyed your stay at Disney. So really dark.
Wow.
And again, if you're into the macabre, you can look it up. But otherwise, I would.
I'm going to save my thoughts for offline of that one. That's,
I would. My advice is to not look at the picture.
Yeah.
All right. So there's another one at the bottom that, as a Disney know-it-all, neither of us knew. Okay. So there's another one on here that I'm going to put it up there with Club 33, which it doesn't belong deep down. And it says Walt Disney's frozen head. You know, it's one of my favorite topics.
So, yeah, there's rumors that Walt Disney froze his head, like cryogenically frozen head, so that they can do like that movie Get Out and they can preserve him and use him later. But, yeah, supposedly it's like buried beneath the the castle at Disneyland. So
it is a very Walt Disney thing to do, because he was such a futurist that he may have banked on the fact that they could do something with it hundreds of years later. So who knows? That one's definitely an urban legend. Okay, there's one here that sounds very scary. It says suicidemouse.avi, which we all know, you know, is a movie file.
I know this.
And then in parentheses, all caps, it says, do not research. So
yes, so I did research it.
Ooh.
I'm trying to remember.
It sounds like The Ring or something.
I feel like that's what it was like. It was like a really scary clip where they put like an old Mickey Mouse cartoon or something. Did you watch it?
No, I followed the advice. It said, do not research. I didn't want it in my house.
Tell
I didn't
me
want
not
it on
to,
my
I will.
Screen. Yeah.
I believe it's like an old Disney short, and it plays like on a loop or something. I don't remember the urban legend behind it, but it's something that's supposed to get you to want to kill yourself, basically.
That sounds very, very scary. It also sounds like it could be a creepypasta, like a online,
totally is.
A story someone made up on the internet. All right, so the question is, did you get anything right in layer 8? And I'm going to say, as the host of this fake game show, is that Walt Disney's Frozen Head and Club 33 don't belong here.
Yes.
So those don't count.
Agreed.
Level 8. So Room 0, neither of us knew about. 1999 nope. Hanging, neither of us knew about. But you did know about suicidemouse.avi file, video file.
Oh, yeah.
So you survived all the way down to the deepest,
yay!
Darkest regions of the iceberg. And I didn't realize and put it all together that there was a lot of dark stuff, a lot of suicide here. So
yeah, I was
going
to say, I'm like, I didn't realize it was going to get that dark.
Yeah.
But you get into those dark waters.
Yeah, pretty dark, murky waters. Yeah, so that's the Disney know-it-all iceberg. You made it all the way down to level 8. Very impressed. So there you go.
Wow. Well, on a not so much lighter topic, we have some other things that are either really fun or can get really dark as well.
Yeah.
And I know I have one that's pretty dark. So let's hop into Disney versus fan theories.
Yes.
So, and yeah, what exactly is a fan theory, Mike?
These are another one of those sort of rabbit holes on the internet. You could find it on Reddit. You could find it, you know, on BuzzFeed. There are a lot of fan theories around everything Disney, from Disney animated films to theme parks to Marvel, Star Wars, general fan theories that you can find on the internet. So we challenge ourselves to find a few of these and share them with you all and with each other. And I'm going to give you an example of one, and then we'll go from there. So one example, which is the one that got me interested in down this rabbit hole, was about Andy's mom. Okay, so
okay.
It says Andy's mom in Toy Story, so we're talking about Toy Story, was a hooker, a prostitute. And
what?
She didn't even, yeah, and Andy doesn't know who his father is as a result, because she doesn't know who the baby daddy is, which they never show him or talk about him.
That's interesting, because it's usually quite the opposite.
Right.
Right. The father is always missing.
Right. Mm. And then it says she eventually got
the mother. I mean,
the mother. She eventually got married. And then Andy got a stepdad out of it. I don't recall from the films if there's a stepdad. I could just not be remembering correctly. But this fan said that there's a stepdad who then left her and Andy when he found out about her past career.
Oh, my God.
And then they had to move to a smaller house because Andy's mom didn't want to go back to selling her body. Again, this is a fan theory, and this is on the internet, so I take no credit. The only part I will add to this myself, I'm adding this last part, was that in the moving boxes, you know how they moved a lot, at least
yeah.
In the first one, in the moving boxes, there was a toy that was cut from the scenes. It was a talking dildo. And they cut it, and it was a toy, an adult toy that talked. So there you have it. Andy's mom.
Wait, so, but usually these fan theories, like, take something and, like, run with it that, like, most people didn't catch. But, like, where did this come from?
I think it had a lot to do with the absence of a father, and they tried to run with it.
And, oh, and they're like, she must be a sex worker if the father is in the picture.
That, like, that part is just whoever wrote this, that's coming from their own.
Shame.
Strange brain. And then I brought you the extra delight of a talking adult toy.
You should probably just say beautiful single mother, okay?
Right? Power what to else? Her.
All right.
I have another fan theory related to our one of our favorite talking birds from the film. So Iago, who is Jafar's pet parrot in Aladdin. And this one is a really cool one. So this one says that Iago was actually another wizard, like a sorcerer type person, that was, I guess, colleagues with Jafar. I'm not sure how to say it. But he was employed by Jafar to go and find the lamp for him. And when he went down into the Cave of Wonders, his punishment was he was transformed into a parrot. And Jafar ends up keeping him as his, like, employee. And Iago still works for him, but now he's a bird. And the reason why the fan theory can be correct is because he's the only animal in the entire film that talks, that speaks.
Oh, so, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, like, why can he talk? Why do people understand him? And that's his backstory, according to this fan. Kind of cool, right?
Okay, I don't mind. I like it. That one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. So I have one, and this one is about the movie Up.
Ooh.
And this one, I'll say a little bit about the fan theory, and then I'm going to twist it into my own theory that I took out of that. So, there's a fan theory that Carl from Up is actually dead all along. So we're getting back into the dark realm here, which I did not know we were going to go that dark on the iceberg. So I thought this would be like a slight dark, but we're back in it. But the whole idea is that he is stuck in this, maybe like purgatory, some might say, or transitioning into the afterlife. And they had to send down Russell, and he, instead of a scout, which he's disguised as, is actually an angel trying to get his wings. So he's trying to help Carl get to the afterlife.
Oh, like his little badge is really his wings. Oh my God, that's so sweet.
Isn't that great? I just love it. And then, of course, you have like the, remind me again, what's the bad one, antagonist?
Yeah.
So there's the antagonist in the film was like trying to pull you the other way. So it's a fallen angel.
And then he went to paradise and everything too.
Right. And then the place is called Paradise Falls, which sounds, you know, a little like paradise afterlife, whatever. Yeah. And of course they fly up, 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 which the whole movie is named after with balloons going up to heaven or whatever. So I took that and having a father who was like, we don't know for sure if he was going into dementia, but it definitely felt like it. And I've also seen other people in dementia, but I was thinking like, what if Carl was alive still, but he was in a state of dementia and he like wasn't really ready to let go of the idea of adventure and finding this place for his wife and whatnot. And he kept trying to, his whole life was trying to find it still. So like, isn't that so sad? It just reminds me of like the old man that you always see depicted in films. For some reason, they always do this old man at a bus stop waiting for his wife.
Right. Oh, we talked about it once in there was a Golden Girls episode, the bench up by the beach.
Oh my God, it was like, I was like sobbing at that episode. Oh my God. So yeah, that just like made me remember that side of it. And I was like, what if Carl's going through this, you know, dementia situation? So anyway, that one's not too dark, actually. Yeah. It's just like kind of, you know.
The second theory is sad but bittersweet. The first theory mentioned seems pretty sweet. Like he, at the end of that whole adventure in purgatory, he probably gets to see Ellie again, his wife.
Right. Yeah, he's like floating up to go see Ellie with his like little home.
And Russell got his wings. He got the grape soda badge.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, I'm into this fan theory.
All right.
This next one I have is about Ariel's mom, so Little Mermaid. It's based on the Little Mermaid, and this is assuming that there were no sequels, right? So Ariel's mom, her name is Athena, and I guess that's canon. Her name is Athena in Disney canon. And Captain Hook and Ariel's mom actually knew each other. So no, it doesn't go into no like dating or anything.
Bow chicka wow wow?
Okay. Yeah, there's no bow chicka wow wow, but we can make our own theory if we want it. But she lived on Neverland, like with the rest of the mermaids, and she hitched a ride on Hook's pirate ship when he went to the ocean, because I guess he would go back and forth sometimes. And he went to the regular ocean. She loved Earth and stayed underwater on Earth, and that's where she met Triton. And they lived happily ever after until she left. And how did she leave? She missed her home and went back to Neverland and didn't tell anybody. She left a note.
Aww.
And the reason why I think this is interesting is the mermaid. There's a mermaid in actual Peter Pan animated film with red hair and light blue bottom half. And she has like this little hair scrunchy thing that looks just like Triton's crown, the same crown that like Ursula takes.
Oh, you're
later.
Right.
Right. And so I really like this connection between Neverland and Little Mermaid and those mermaids itself. So that was a theory there.
Love it. Well, I also have one about Ariel.
Ooh.
So this one is actually about Ariel and her relationship to Hercules.
Oh,
this is
okay.
Actually really cool. So supposedly Ariel and Hercules are cousins. Mm. And the reason that is that Ariel's dad is King Triton, right? And in Greek mythology, he's the son of Poseidon. Follow me here.
Yes.
And that would make Poseidon Ariel's grandfather. And then in Greek mythology, Poseidon also has two brothers, and they are Hades and Zeus. And yes. Then in Greek mythology and Disney, Zeus is Hercules' dad, making Ariel Hercules' cousin. So
that
like you take out like
100%
real Greek mythology,
true.
Right?
Yeah, the whole family tree you mentioned is 100% true. I love Greek mythology, like Clash of the Titans and those oldie movies. Wow, they are cousins.
Yeah,
they
isn't
have
that
to
great?
Be because of what you just mentioned.
And they both have the red hair, like. Runs in the family.
I like it. All right. I like that theory, and it's technically true. Let's say that.
There you go.
It's
technically Disney, true. Technically true.
Technically Disney, technically true. Well, those are all the right. Fan theories that I collected.
Same. Yeah. That was great. I haven't like really dove into fan theories in the past, but I love it. I like hearing like ones that they can really pull a lot out of what you see and just like twist the story and come up with this whole other like
totally.
It's just so interesting. You're like, oh my god, I never thought of it that way. With that said, before we wrap, I wanted to bring up a very exciting announcement for the month of August. And since it's so sunny and beautiful outside, and there's this really cool enchanted bar that opened up in Disneyland recently, and just like vibing over here, and I thought we would do for the entire month of August a tiki takeover. Yeah. So we have a bunch of stuff planned, and we'll talk about more of that. Yay!
I love that. It, like you said, it's so timely, especially with like all this Jungle Cruise momentum happening from the movie mm-hmm. and the reopening. I just saw this image today that I have to talk about on Instagram. You know, one of our favorite drag queens is Nina West, and she's a huge Disney fan. And I saw her ensemble, the gown she wore
the
Jungle Cruise premiere. Did you see
so
that?
Cool.
The backside of water. Oh my god, so creative.
It's so like deep cuts too. Like she didn't just dress up in like leopard print or something.
She's
like
she's definitely not
backside of water.
A fake Disney fan. She's a true hardcore Disney fan.
Yep.
And
yep,
Disney
I
Parks,
love that.
Disneyland. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just feels right. So let's do it. So we're going to do Tiki Takeover. Tiki. We'll give you some more details as soon as August starts, which is next week already. Crazy.
Wow.
But we have a lot of fun stuff in store for you guys. We have some interviews. We have some deep dives. So lots of fun stuff coming up for the month of August. And get your Tiki drinks ready and come aboard with us. So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you all for listening, and we hope you enjoyed episode 43 of the Disneyholics Show.
Follow us on social media at the Disneyholics.
And if you'd like to get in touch with us, slide into those DMs on Instagram or email us at fanmail@thedisneyholics.com.
Okay, bye.
not offending me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old pal said. You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. You've got troubles, I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together and we'll see it through. Because you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Now some of the other boys might be a little smarter than I am, bigger and stronger too.
Maybe, but none of them is ever gonna love you the way I do. When it's just me and you.
And as the years go by,
years and years, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.